This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Tom time, hour two today. Welcome in. We got John and got Kirk there and you at 855-839-1210. Side question today. Somebody you'd like to see, maybe even a couple, leave the country in 2026. All right, we had one of the highlights this year in my top 10 going over it, in addition to the side question just becoming gargantuan with people flooding me day and night. Hey, I couldn't call in, but here's my answer to the side. The appearance out there for our politics and pints with Scott Jennings and getting to see him behind the scenes, know him a little bit better. The title of the book, every time he's on, I talk to him about how Donald Trump went to Washington to save America and Western civilization. Here, I think this was on Fox today. This is cut 14. We have an alum at Harvard on to comment, because at Harvard, if you talk Western civilization, you want to teach that, then you're not teaching. They don't want to offer that course. And this guy, this analyst, makes the point that Western civilization, the argument is there, has been superior to any civilization you're going to name. Can we at least bring that question up? Can we at least debate it? Can we learn from it in taking a look at this? Listen to his comment, and it's got people a bit ruffled by saying, yes, Western civilization is the civilization that has worked. Why would we be tearing it down or attacking it or trying to say what other civilization is better than or even equal to it? Cut 14.
A former Harvard professor says he is leaving the university after 40 years, claiming its focus on DEI is doing more harm than good, writing, quote, "In the fall of 2020, I came across an outstanding prospect who was a perfect fit for our program. In past years, this candidate would have risen immediately to the top of the applicant pool. In 2021, however, I was told informally by a member of the admissions committee that that, meaning admitting a white male, was not happening this year." Harvard alumnus Shabos Kestenbaum joins us now. Happy New Year, Shabos. Thanks so much for being on with us.
Happy New Year. Good to be here.
So the professor writes about this seemingly open anti-white, anti-male environment that has really been growing in Harvard. As an alumnus, is this something that you have experienced? Do you agree with what the professor wrote?
Certainly, I agree with what the professor wrote. It's shocking, but it's certainly not surprising. I mean, a country that does not teach about its own history is certainly a country that does not have much of a future. But honestly, my greatest concern is the greater societal implications and the greater societal ills, particularly the demoralization of young people in America. So when you have cultural elites or professors who insist and instruct young people that their culture is not worthy of preservation, that their race is something to be apologetic over, that their history is not worthy of scholarship, then of course those young people, particularly young men, will become disillusioned and disassociated with the society they're meant to be interacting with. And we need to be very clear now that we're in 2026 that not all cultures are equal, not all civilizations are equal. We need to be teaching about the virtues of Western civilization. There's a reason that 200,000 Somalis are living in the United States, and spoiler, there are zero Americans living in Somalia. So the anti-white discrimination, the anti-Asian discrimination, and the anti-American narratives being taught at institutions of higher learning is something that's been an open secret for decades.
All right, you heard what he said, and it's a great point. He said, wait a minute, why is it all civilizations equal? 200,000 Somalis living in the United States or more, but little or no Americans certainly choosing to live in Somaliland or Somalia. Why is that? Well, you know, there's more affluence here. Yeah, where does that come from? And the point he made at the end is getting people a little bit squirrely about Well, you're kicking out Western civilization. Hasn't that been the most successful civilization? You know, that's why Jennings book, right in the title, hits that. Oh, we got two of our favorites coming up, Drew of Upper Darby and Linda Kearns. I mean, Perry Mason doesn't rest even on New Year's Day. It must be an Elvis concert in downtown. Are the Mummers playing Elvis? Linda Kearns with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Linda, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well. And what are you out and about doing?
Well, I heard you talking about who you want to leave the country, or
yes,
who we want to leave the country. And I'm wondering if you would accept a thruple. I heard you say you would accept a couple. Will you accept, can I say, a thruple?
Which is, yeah, it's the first time that word thruple has been ever used on Talk Radio 1210.
She's got my vote, Dom.
Just like Byzantine Empire of Joe of Exeter, you're in quite a league there.
Okay, well, here's my thruple that, and I think that this would have a really a positive effect on the United States of America, and it would be great to happen in our country's 250th year. My thruple that I would like to leave the country is Sonia Sotomayor, Alina Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Well, you know what? I hear you. I don't know about Kagan or Kagan that. She seems, Linda, to be along for the ride. No, you don't see her that way?
I think if I had to choose one to stay, it would be her, because she does seem sensible. But she does vote, you know, always in line,
yes,
with the leftists. So, and hey, look, imagine if President Trump could appoint three justices to replace those three. Now, I have been hearing rumblings that maybe Justice Alito could retire, so he could... Maybe he could even appoint fourth, and that would really change America.
The only thing is, Linda, you know, I want you as more of an advisor on that, because I know you're going to go to the death as I would. I'd like to be an advisor, because I'm going to sniff out Kavanaugh is tepid. The guy that I like is Gorsuch. Even when he differs a little bit, he hasn't voted every time with Alito and Clarence Thomas. I think he's the equal of Alito, and Alito, you know, is the only one I've ever interacted with seven times, but who's counting? But Amy Coney Barrett, Linda, surprises me, and John Yoo the other day, you know, is a friend of yours too, said, well, come on, Dom, she's just siding with Roberts because she has that point of view. I think she's brown-nosing with Roberts there. I'm disappointed in Coney Barrett. How about you?
Right. Well, I'm always disappointed in the Republican picks, because the one thing that a Democrat president always does is manages to find the most far leftist justices. I mean, they are so far left.
Yep.
And they're so reliable. And we, the Republican presidents, have not been able to do. While I do want President Trump to be able to pick maybe even more than one justice in the remainder of his term, I do worry. We do need really solid conservatives. Now, maybe some of these picks come about because you're concerned that the Senate won't confirm them, but that means that we have to win elections and make sure that we have the Senate.
Yeah.
So I think,
Linda,
that there are really good.
I am really enamored with Alito. When I've had him on, and I interviewed him for my book, too, about teachers that affected somebody. So it was a longer interview and off the record some of it. And to think we dodged a bullet that George W. Bush wanted to appoint his real estate lawyer to the Supreme Court. And we got the star, the guy who actually put the infrastructure for some of the biggest things out there, including Roe v. Wade. He is the star.
Yep, absolutely. So people are, I'm sure, already talking about who could possibly be next. There are tons of constitutional conservatives out there who I think would be strong picks. I wouldn't mind someone from our home team. I wouldn't mind John Yoo, but I'm sure he's not on the list. I'm sure they're kind of looking at the circuit courts and so forth. But there are good choices out there, and I hope that we really have somebody really looking into it. So that if one of these people does retire, or if these three ladies decide to leave the country, that President Trump could really appoint some really strong constitutional conservatives.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wish we could hear from more Supreme Court justices, even if it's just the human element. When Alito came on, he would predict, Linda, how many games the Phillies would win every year. One year he predicted 95, they only won 94. And he said he ruled that the umpires were so off on one game that the Phillies did win 95.
Yeah, Alito, I've seen him speak at Federal Society events, and he does. He has a great personality. Same with Clarence Thomas. He's an amazing speaker. And I remember right after Justice Scalia died, Clarence Thomas spoke at the Federal Society, and he was almost crying because he was just such a good friend of Justice Scalia. But
I almost had Scalia on, the all-timer, as far as, you know, when you could be that brilliant. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg and you go to the opera together. That's good stuff. It really is.
And I wish people would realize that we can have differences of opinion, but you don't have to be at each other's throats and calling names. You can still be friends and have differences of opinion. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That was a
Linda,
great lesson.
Linda, you're on for Dawn tomorrow, 10 until noon?
I'm on for Dawn tomorrow, 10 to noon, and I was watching her this morning, and I'm going to continue watching her. She's hosting the Mummers Parade. She's doing a great job, although I don't know if you heard the string bands, all their props and so forth, it's too windy. So I think they might march but not have all their props. So that's kind of sad for
the
Mummers.
Yeah, it's once a year. I'm just waiting to see if there's any controversial, the comics, you know what I mean, the stuff they do.
Well, one person's controversy is another person's humor, and I think we got to kind of relax. And if they do something, laugh at it, and then life goes on.
Yeah, I would agree. I just, when they had an altar boy being chased down Broad Street by a priest, it was a little bit.
That's absolutely tasteless. Hey, the other day when you got home, was Ro waiting with your slippers and your drink and your newspaper with your recliner because you work so hard?
2 out of 3, but she wanted to know, who is this Linda Kearns? No, she knows you and wants to meet you, certainly, to tell you the real story.
Oh, she'll meet me when we have another debate that is not fixed. Again, that's my wish for 2026.
Do you have a prediction for this year? I realize, as a legal scholar, et cetera, I've already predicted the Republicans will squeak by and win the midterms. I predict that there will be an alternative halftime show at the Super Bowl that will get 10 million people, which is peanuts, but 10 million plus. How about you? Any predictions?
Yeah, you know what I'm going to predict? Because if you predict it and you believe it, it's going to come true. I'm going to predict that Philadelphia is going to win the Super Bowl and the World Series this year, that 2026 is going to be our year. We're going to do both, that the Eagles are going to win and the Phillies are going to win.
I'm out on the Eagles, though, Linda. This idea of not playing Washington, I just think it's a violent game, injuries and all that. If they lose to Washington with the second team, and I don't know where they get just by playing the second team, they're going to win, because getting that number 2 seed is all important to me.
Yeah, I think they should play every game to win. That's where I am. But I want to have faith, and because I think if you believe it, it could happen, and I would love to see us win both the Super Bowl and the World Series.
In hour 3 today, I'm predicting that you will be the new Secretary of State in Pennsylvania.
Could you imagine? I mean, you wouldn't recognize this Commonwealth.
Well, that's why trying to wish it into existence, that would happen. Yeah.
Well, we would need a Republican governor.
Right.
And PhD better not need me as much, because if I was Secretary of State, I wouldn't have time to guest host. So, you know, there's push and pull there.
Now, see, that's a tragedy. Yeah, Greg Stocker and I have to confer on that. You can do it right from the bench. All right, you're up on Talk Radio 1210. I mean, Your Honor. Linda, thank you. You had a great 2025. You're part of the fraternity sorority now. And you're going to lose again the big debate this year. But nobody can beat the champion.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? You keep it up, and I'm going to talk to Ro, and there won't be a drink and slippers when you're waiting.
Whoa,
and
shots
fired.
You
won't even want to go home. So
hey, Ro, get me that other drink. I still have another hour here. All right. Thank you, Linda.
Have a very happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Linda. Linda Kearns, joining us as a guest host now in 2025 and moving into 2026. More of your calls coming up, particularly one of our favorites, Drew of Upper Darby, who is half Greek, and the other half is a melange of various ethnic groups. Tomorrow, he and Zenos will be honored. Tomorrow's side question in advance, all things Greek, Greece, That time, I'm going to take Kimberly Guilfoyle off the board as the ambassador to Greece. Could there be a more random choice by President Trump?
Exactly right.
We have to do as a side all-time random things that Trump got involved in that you just can't believe. Yesterday, the Arc de Triomphe that he's building coming into Washington. I mean, I'm not against it, but... Yeah.
That'll be a whole plethora of...
a lot of time spent on stuff like this.
Like the Constitution on the wall?
Yeah, exactly. All right, hit us at 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. A thruple from Linda Kearns. Give us even a couple or one. Someone you'd like to see voluntarily join the Clooneys at their estate, their chateau in France. And I'm hoping Trump... Now, Trump has gone after him. I mean, what role did George Clooney actually act in? You know, it's going through the motions, the Ocean's 12 and all that stuff. I'm trying to think of what role did he actually show any kind of emotion. He basically plays the same role. I'm not saying he's a bad actor. He's kind of middling. And he is a handsome guy, there's no doubt. But I'm trying to think of a meaty role that he played. Kirk,
what about Gravity?
What role stands out from Clooney?
He was opposite Sandra Bullock in Gravity, and that movie, I believe, won an Oscar.
The one movie, I think, the one movie that really stood out was the original Batman. That was the one that stood out.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
All right, so
that movie's kind of sucked.
Film credits there. Trump just said he's not a movie star, which is kind of ludicrous.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right, it's 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. Coming up to your calls, and big story today, experts say that Gen Z doesn't like using a Karen for Karens anymore. And I'm going to tell you who the Karen of the year was. It's without a doubt the winner, at least here locally. They have a new word, a new first name. They're trying out to say, yeah, that's a real Karen move. No, don't say Karen. Say this female name. What name is that? And your calls on Talk Radio 12.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
10.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, Dom Giordano's show. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome in. 855-839-1210. Hit us with a person or a couple or a thruple that you'd like to see leave the country in 2026. And coming up, Gen Z said that Karen title is out. A new name for rude millennial women is already going viral. Apparently, Karen was not for millennial women. It was more boomer or slightly younger than boomer, according to this article. And the Karen of the year is that hectoring woman, you know, at the Florida Marlins game, who comes over to the dad and browbeats him to give up the ball that he had given to his son. She's just doing who she is, and I think her name was spelled Karen, C-A-I-R-Y-N. The dad is the villain there, though. No way that he should have given in to this. It was ridiculous. Remember, she had the Phillies jersey on outside the whole thing. That is the Karen of the year. The hectoring, oh, my God. And, you know, Karen came along for that sense of entitlement. And the people who call the cops for nothing. Or just have an emotional meltdown or start screaming at people, particularly wait staff or retail or something like that. Well, there's a new name that Gen Z says. Karen is out. I'll give you that in a moment. But Drew is in. Drew in Upper Darby. He's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Drew, Happy New Year. Go right ahead.
Happy New Year, Dom. I really appreciate everything, man. You're... Hey, they say James Brown is the hardest working man in show business. I think you're the hardest working man in talk radio. Man, you never
well, thank you, Drew,
down.
Very much. I'm in the Dom Dome. Ro is bringing in tea and kumquats every 30 seconds, so life is good.
That's good. Hey, Dom, my side answer, this guy, man, he was so rotten, man. He's just so full of hate. It's ridiculous. Like, not this past season of the Major League Baseball, or was it last year? Right after the attempted assassination on President Trump, there was a couple guys in the dugout, three guys in the dugout in the major leagues, and after one of their teammates hit a home run, these three ball players in the dugout, they celebrated by holding their arms up saying fight, 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 like what they did what President Trump did after he got shot, that moment where he held
right.
his arm. And this person who I'm going to say, he wanted these baseball players kicked out of baseball, all because they did that. They celebrated. And this Keith Olbermann.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Keith Olbermann. By the way, Drew, annually on Columbus Day, I put up that Columbus was braver than the astronauts, everything figured in. And he goes wild and attacks me, and it gets thousands of hits. So, yeah,
yes,
I'm on the alert for him. Have a good rest of the day, Drew. Thanks for the kind words.
Here,
yes, Keith Olbermann is an oldie but goodie. Definitely. Okay, so what is it that experts are now saying in Gen Z? It's Jessica. It's among the most popular names for nearly two decades, 1982 to 1997, from the U.S. Social Security Administration, aligning perfectly with the millennial birth window. And the need to rename Karens gained momentum as viral clips began featuring younger women exhibiting the same rude and entitled behavior across platforms like TikToks and X. Interestingly, these women didn't fit the original stereotype of the baby boomer bob cut archetype, but the conduct was unmistakably familiar. As the behavior evolved, the label did too, creating a push of a new name to reflect a new generation. Now, several names were debated before they settled on Jessica, one of which was Ashley. Becky was another one. I don't know why Becky. But, yeah, I kind of like Jessica, although the Karen has such a hard, he says, Karen. A sound to it. The original is best. I think
Karen's
Jessica
almost a slur now.
Yes. Yeah, this is... We got the Karen. It might be better to stick with that. But if this generation wants to call them Jessicas, that's fine. Nothing's going to tell me to call that woman, though, with the ball in the Phillies game. Jessica. She's a Karen. Oh, my God.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Up and down the line, it's just the all-time entitlement. I don't know that we remember. I remember the racial component of a Karen, the woman who called the police on a black guy in Central Park who was a bird watcher. That is in the top 10 all times of Karen behavior. You know, and it came out later exactly what she was up to. But the stereotype is a walking stereotype. That woman at the Phillies game. And that she got her way, and she got the ball, and she was prepared to do anything. From a kid, it did not matter. She was going to get that ball. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question. Even though today's a holiday, New Year's Day, etc., the Republican Oversight Committee in the House, next week, I don't think they're back in session. So I'm not saying January 5th. I think it's the week after that. They're going to conduct hearings with people, getting the details on all the fraud in Minnesota. And they've invited Walz and the other Ellison, the alleged attorney general, the following week after that. I think they got to subpoena them. And I led off the show playing this naturalized Brazilian-American woman that we're trying to get on the show because, you know, the stuff that she says is so on point. I might play it again right here, about what this does if these people in Minnesota get away with it. It's not just the money. It's something bigger and broader. This is Cut 12, and it creates defeatism in the average American, particularly Republicans, particularly people that voted and said, enough. We don't want these people to get away with it. Who are these people? People who are progressives in big cities or people aiding and abetting these other demographic groups to plunder, to just take money, to be on welfare all the time. Abuse after abuse after abuse. Why be a dope? Why be a good citizen? Why vote then? All right, so Cut 12.
I want to talk about how the average American is starting to feel as major corruption is being exposed, especially now with the case in Minnesota and the daycare fraud. This is not just about money being stolen anymore. It's about a growing feeling that being a good citizen, being a hardworking person, paying your taxes may not be worth it. People are starting to feel stupid. They think, well, I'm here, I'm playing by the rules, I am working hard, I'm providing for my family, I'm doing the hard work, and I'm the idiot. You see the memes online, and we laugh, you know, like, oh, me on my way to work, thinking that I should have just opened a daycare center in Minnesota and made millions. And again, it is funny, but it's also deeply sad. Because the next thing is, why am I even doing this? And that's the part that no one wants to talk about, because this kind of feeling shapes culture. I come from Brazil, as you know, and in Brazil, we have this thing we call the Brazilian way, which is the idea that there's always a shortcut, there's always a loophole, a way to take advantage of a situation. And people think it comes out of nowhere. Oh, it's just the Brazilian way of living. No, this comes from years of Brazilian people being robbed and nothing being done with the thieves. So we now think that survival means cheating the system before it cheats you. Eventually, people stop believing that being honest is rewarded. When a society teaches its citizens that being honest makes you a loser, well, that's really dangerous. You don't just lose money. You lose trust. You lose dignity. You lose the culture that holds it all together. And once that's gone, it's really hard to get back.
Absolutely. That's part of the big picture here. The media, too, have given up just being incurious about this and not covering it. They're trying to suppress it. They're actively trying to suppress it by going after Nick Shirley, who said, well, what are they going to find? I don't gamble. I don't use drugs. I don't drink. And I'm a virgin. Oh, man. I'm waiting. You know, Colbert and these others. They got to come after this kid. How dare he? He's a vigilante. Who appointed him, God, to be going there doing this? Well, finally, the Minnesota paper of record went to 10, and 7 out of 10 were fraudulent, they say. Just going there, they know that, based on the records, no kids, etc. So, again, could a few of these places, it just be a mistake? I guess that's possible. But is Nick Shirley onto something here that significantly 90% is correct? Yeah. Absolutely it is. There is no doubt. There's the cover-up's underway. How can you cover up something? They're trying every tactic imaginable. Now, Scott Presler returns at 2 o'clock on Monday on the Dom Show, our big guy. He was very involved in Minnesota in trying to register people to vote in 2024, et cetera, et cetera. And he talks, he's been on Twitter a lot the last couple days, about how this fraudulent behavior is encrypted into the voting system there, how easy it makes it for shenanigans. So we'll be back with the great Scott Presler Monday at 2 o'clock and every 2 o'clock that he can make, because he is in the center of so much great stuff. And I've been talking to Dr. Oz, texting back and forth with him. I think he'll be on this week, maybe Monday. He's got a lot of things to say that are going to happen in 2026. So it was great to, over the holidays, just kind of text back and forth with him. And he's been a real friend and very accessible to me and to the show. So just a few things that we have ready to go. But we're trying to get Nick Shirley on. I would lose the sunglasses. I don't think the sunglasses are a good look. But other than that, I just think the knocking on the door, can I say, well, I don't see any kids in there. I mean, he hasn't been overly aggressive, shoving in there. Let me see those kids. And you got a guy being investigated from Politico now by the Justice Department because he suggested, well, maybe Nick Shirley could get shot under Stand Your Ground laws. Minnesota doesn't have anything like that. Are you kidding me? Even in Florida, they can't shoot you legally for knocking on the door. This is how crazed they are to go after them. 855-839-1210.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, it is Dom time. Happy New Year, the first show that you have a chance to be together to say that. I've been asking for your predictions, whatever they may be. You heard Linda Kearns, you heard mine. Peachy Keenan, who's not her real name, she's written several really good nonfiction books, and she's a presence. She lives up TikTok. I think she's connected with that, satirizes them. Here are a couple of her predictions, somewhat tongue-in-cheek. Let's see. Straight white men will form their own political lobby pack and maybe even a convention. Make it okay to be a white guy again will take off and might even work.
What, not our dudes for Harris?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll supplant that. Michelle Obama will spearhead a hair reparations program that will require people to pay people who are unable to learn to swim or go to the beach due to racist and expensive hair straightening treatments, weaves, and wigs. She will call it Rep Hair Asians. Nicely played
nice
by Peachy Keenan.
Nicely played.
Ozempic and drugs like that will be affordable enough for the middle of the country, and RV Americans will start slimming down for real, giving them a new purpose in life and a renewed self-confidence. All right, we'll see about that. The end of Uber. The Waymo and Tesla taxi revolution is here just in time as Uber and Lyft continue to suffer with huge numbers of bad and unprofessional drivers. It was nice while it lasted, but no one wants to be driven around by these people anymore. Let's see. The last of the big studios in Hollywood will flee California, sell their property to the state, who turned these great big sound stages into homeless camps. And no one will even notice that the movies become even more banal and derivative. Captain America will have to have gay on-screen sex with Timothy Chalamet and Sidney Sweeney on Air Force One to even crack the Netflix top 50. Oh, my God.
Wow. That's bold.
Let's see. Stranger Things mania will mercifully be over, and we will not see much of the lead actors again. Got season 8 curse. And my top prediction for the new year is, despite the perennial headwinds, we, the last of the great people in the greatest country on God's earth, will continue to lead the way, continue to win, and refuse to despair. Optimism is my word for 2026, because if you lose hope, then what's the point? Optimism over optimization every time. Kind of what I was saying about this idea of trying to beat you down. Nobody ever goes to jail in this stuff like this Minnesota type of nonsense. Nobody gets indicted. Tim Walz is still out there with the jazz hands and everything else. And that's why the people that have our uniforms on, Cash Patel, the FBI, and others, they got to come through. There have to be at least indictments in this. And the Congress should drag Tim Walz before them and Ellison to force them to testify. They want to take the Fifth Amendment, they can take the Fifth Amendment. By the way, even though I don't think people see it fully today, today is the day that we have the Obamacare cliff. And we're going to see what the repercussion of that is, how much are the rates going to go up, what are Republicans going to do when they return to try to blunt that. It will be interesting to see that play out. So if you have a prediction, tongue-in-cheek or not, we'd love to hear it. Get in on the side question. somebody you'd like to see or somebody's leave the country in 2026. Linda Kearns had a thruple, which was interesting. We had Keith Olbermann. We've had several. Mine were Jimmy Kimmel and the Royals, Markle and Prince Harry, even more than Markle, the two of them. American protection, American security, just awful. I mean, Netflix, having her on Netflix alone, I thought the Obama productions were bad. My God, really, really bad. And that Brazilian pundit I played you, hopefully we'll have her on tomorrow or soon, making the point, this is the type of stuff, the money that was taken, and just the sheer piracy of it in plain sight in Minnesota, and threats. We'll call you Islamophobic. We'll call you a racist if you turn us in, if you go after it, is exactly what enrages people. Now, I know it's a weird, long name. I've had her on several times, though. Badia Ungar Sargon, who's on News Nation now. This is Cut 13. Made the point this Brazilian woman did about you can't afford to do this, and yet you have these Somali pirates in Minnesota able to steal billions of dollars. Now, Trump went a little wild last night at some presentation, and I think he said $18 billion. It's estimated to be $9 or $10 billion, which is enough. Here's Badia Ungar Sargon making the class argument. The average American looks at this. The average middle-class American looks at this. And what do they see going on in Minnesota? Cut 13.
This scandal is totally appalling, but it is also unsurprising. And that's because it's a microcosm of what ails the Democratic elites. That's our Why It Matters segment for the night. The latest revelations join others in which suspected Somali fraudsters stole more than $9 billion in federal funds from 14 state-run agencies dating back to 2018. Somali Americans make up 89% of the defendants charged. The absolute scale of the fraud just beggars belief. Where were the spot checks? Where were the officials? It seems totally impossible that the Democratic leadership was not somehow in on this. Just think about how outrageous this is. You are wondering whether you can afford to have another child because childcare is so expensive. Meanwhile, a group of Somalis in Minnesota got $110 million for childcare centers that don't exist. You can't afford to buy a home, but 100 Somalis spent millions on luxury properties, millions of your taxpayer dollars. You're paying $30,000 a year for terrible health care, and they got millions for health care centers that they never opened for patients that they never serviced. But the fraud is a microcosm of an illness that plagues our political elites, especially on the left. More broadly, everybody comes before you. For decades, the Democrats have pushed for mass migration, both legal and illegal, which drove down the wages of working class Americans while making competition for housing, healthcare, and an education the hallmarks of the American dream even fiercer. And if you objected, if you had the audacity to ask why your children were being disinherited in your country, the Democratic elites called you racist. Leftist American elites developed an entire woke vocabulary as a smokescreen to mask the mass pillaging of the American working class. They smeared hardworking people who work 10 times harder than they do, by the way, and make a fraction as much. When those working class Americans objected to having their jobs sent overseas and those jobs that remained here degraded by a glut of cheap labor. Millionaires on cable news called you racist if you said, wait a minute, why don't my kids matter? That's why people are so angry about the Somali fraud case. It is the epitome of the fraud perpetrated on the American people through the collusion of the Democratic Party, the liberal media, and people willing to take advantage of the immense generosity of the American people and then spit in our faces.
Absolutely. Boy, that is well said. She and the Brazilian-American woman, pundit, Dom Giordano Show, they're kind of the anthem, more the Brazilian woman, saying That's the deeper thing that comes out of this. It depresses you. Why go all out? Why put Trump in there? And we can't get these people to stop. And we can't even indict Walz or Ellison or somebody there. There's got to be indictments. That's what we voted for. That's what we want. Keep your eye on the ball. And I got to say, I don't have a lot of confidence in Cash Patel on this. You may. You're pro-Trump. Oh, he appointed. No, no, I don't. He's been asleep at the switch on this. He better come through. That's the bottom line. And the worst, if you're a new listener, maybe you haven't heard me talk about this. These people are setting up autism clinics for hundreds of millions of phony dollars and paying off parents to say their kids had autism. They got to go to jail, and the parents should be deported along with their kids. Get them out of here. We already have enough problems with autism, what causes autism, the back and forth, some of the craziness. And these people are ratcheting up the statistics of thousands more kids with autism. And nobody looks at this, and they don't say, what the heck is going on? They got to be punished. It just, it eats at you to think that this was going on. And a message has to be sent to this state and the infrastructure in Minnesota. There's a new sheriff in town. You're not going to get away with this. We are going to hunt you down to the ends of the earth, and you're going to go to jail and or be deported. And that includes elected officials, every single one that we can. The Trump administration does that and messages that to people across the country. That is a win-win-win. And we offer that up when the Democrats talk about phony affordability, about why so much tax dollars are wasted, about where all this money is going, and show the footage of these people with the lavish estates that were talked about there, and show them with the leering center on their door, and just their arrogance and ingratitude. It's a winner. It's the right thing to do, and politically, it's the right thing to do. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question, too. Someone you'd like to see leave the country. Coming up, you know that Mamdani is being inaugurated today. It started at 1 o'clock. Last night he was sworn in by Letitia James. Oh, my goodness. I have some sound from the mayor of Seattle, who I think is more pleasant, maybe, than Mamdani. But she says the quiet part out loud. She's more of a socialist, maybe. Yeah, Seattle. Talking about what she's going to have to do after she was sworn in. All straight ahead. The Dom Show on New Year's Day on Talk Radio 1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
That is exactly right. 855-839-1210. You're in with Dom. So here is Katie Wilson. This will be cut one. The newly elected mayor of Seattle, who is more blunt even. I think she just says she's a socialist, unlike Mamdani, talking in her inaugural address, I guess, about, well, you know, we're going to have more, what shall we call it, more money to deliver services. Oh, you mean more taxation. And one of the big stories for me in 2026, I'll give you my mindset today, and you can tell me what you want to hear from my show in 2026 more of. It's going to be these people that voted town by town for Mikey Sherrill. And then, like Medford, they voted for her. Not by a huge margin, but they voted for her over Jack Cittarelli. And what happened to them? Now they have to build 800 more homes to subsidize the cost of the affordable homes, 171 of them, that will be put in Medford. Can you imagine? Did you not realize Jack Cittarelli would have fought to the death, delayed it in court, put in an attorney general, done all those things? And I talked to two people yesterday who are friends with Jack, Harry Hurley and Dawn Fantasia, and they both said he's doing well. Look, call me crazy. My prediction, if Jack Cittarelli wants to run again, I'm there for that. I don't see how he ran a bad campaign or anything else. It was two things. She got away with it because of the media, and she was well-funded to say on day one, I'm going to stop these high prices. She got away with that. And two, they wanted to tear apart Trump, and these lazy Trump voters were not you know, Jack Chitterelli didn't go in to get, with a cattle prod and get them off their couch. They sickened me. They didn't come out and vote as they did for President Trump. That's what did it. Yeah, I know Jack lost twice when he had the nomination and he ran a third time. I don't care. I hope to get him on at some point if he's up to that, whenever in the new year, and just commend him. I saw the campaign, I wouldn't say day to day, but had him on enough, had him in person, was behind the scenes at that big rally, and I still am stunned by what happened. 8:43 that night, I'm quarterbacking our coverage, and we're looking and seeing News Nation and somebody else have called. Mikey Sherrill's the governor of New Jersey. Oh, my God, 8:43. Not like we thought this might go to the wee small hours. I thought by that point, if I had to bet, he would lose. But I thought it'd be within 1.5, under 2, maybe. Got blown away. All right, then. When they come for you in each one of these towns that voted for Mikey Sherrill and every other town, these developers, they're coming in, affordable housing. That's what you're going to get. When she raises the sales tax, could be before she's sworn in, is what they want to do. You voted for her. You wanted this stuff. When her attorney general makes a mess of things by putting in price controls or whatever she thinks she's going to do, you voted for her. She's tepid, but she's got the Murphy touch. She's a progressive, and that's what she'll do. So here is the real deal, at least, out there in the open. The new mayor, Katie Wilson, who I believe never had a job until she was 48, according to one report during the campaign, if you remember. And her mom still pays for the child care, even though she's married. Yeah, typical socialist. Here's what she said in her opening speech.
So we're going to be reviewing the ways that the city is spending money, and I think we're going to have to do that given the size of the budget deficit. And I am not averse to ending spending on programs that were maybe well-intentioned when they were first implemented but aren't fulfilling their goals. So we're going to be doing the very best to be the best stewards of public resources we can. I do think that we will need to pursue new progressive revenue in order to fund our priorities and make sure that we're delivering services to the people of Seattle. You know, there's several progressive tax options I proposed as part of my platform, and so we're going to have city staff looking into developing those into legislation. Don't know yet exactly what the timeline's going to be on that.
New progressive revenues. New progressive revenues. They can't say the word taxes, can they? They just don't want to say taxes. It's always revenue enhancements, something that's good for you. We're giving you services at low cost. Those are not taxes. They're progressive revenue streams. That's what we're bringing you. And on it goes. Now, Seattle, I think, is more left than New York City. I think that's almost a certitude. But Mondani is in the Big Apple. It is a big deal still to be the mayor of New York. And I'm praying he goes where his instincts tells him and he makes a mess of it. And Democrats are going to have to answer for this throughout the midterms. You saw they didn't even like answering about it, many of them, when he was running for mayor and he was the clear choice. I'll give him credit for one thing. You got to know the enemy, and he is the enemy, big time. He is the one that glommed onto affordability. Because you have people in New York City who are insane. First of all, I think you got to be insane. Now, if you grew up in New York, okay, I get it. But I'm talking Manhattan or whatever. Oh, all right. To want to live in New York City. The excitement, you can visit for that, but day to day. And then to think it's going to, quote, be affordable. It's not going to be affordable. It always has been pricey beyond belief, one of the most expensive cities in the world. Nothing magical was done. It's a steady stream of litigation, over-regulation, over-taxation. We were looking and had producers take a look at a carton of cigarettes because of all. It just boggles the mind how much you have to pay. So if you're not making $100,000 a year as a single individual, God knows as a family, you can't find New York to be affordable where you can go and somewhat do what you want. It is not happening. Now, Roe likes to go there. A couple times a year we go, all right. And I am on alert every second to try to cut the cost. As I know, you're not going to get out of there. I mean, they're the first place that I remember movie tickets. This is 20 years ago plus, might be 25. Were trending toward double digits. They were past $9. That's the place where it was. I don't even know what a movie ticket in New York is now. So what's Mondani going to do about that? Not much, because he's going to overregulate, overtax, overlitigate, and make a mess of it. That's fine. This is all going to play out in the midterms. But I'm predicting right here on New Year's Day, I think the Republicans somehow or another are going to squeak it out. I'm predicting, without a doubt, we will keep the Senate. But I think, in the end, we're going to maintain the House. It might be by a slimmer majority, if that's possible, than where we are now. But that's okay. The Trump can still roll on. But if Trump does not acknowledge at these rallies, etc., early on, yes, I realize things are not so good for some people. Hasn't worked fully yet. The Biden nonsense is going to take a while longer to filter out. But look at what's going on with the big, beautiful bill. That's all. And also telling his voters, now he wouldn't use these words, if you're a Trump voter, you love Trump and Trump's on the ballot, you're not a patriot if you don't come out and vote in the midterm. Something's wrong with you. You're not a true American. Anybody challenge me on that if you don't vote in the midterms? Isn't that pretty obvious? I don't think you are if you don't vote, you know, most elections. But this is an election that will stop this and set the course to take away many of the things that are good and putting us back on a pretty good trend as a country. There's no doubt about it. You got to win it, though. Do they have? And I predicted Brian Fitzpatrick will squeak it out against Bob Harve, Harve deGrasse Harvey, in Bucks County. Okay? I predict he will not come on the show again. All right, Brian, now you take the other side. I predict you will not come back. Even though you have like five or six people say, oh, Brian wants to come on. You can come on today. Wish us Happy New Year. And stop with the Obamacare plans that you have and all that stuff and the problem solvers that never solve a problem. All right, phone lines. Big 2 o'clock hour to round off New Year's Day. Get in on the side question, which today is simple. Who would you like to see leave the country in 2026? Tomorrow we honor the Greeks, Xenos, Drew of Upper Darby, and all Greeks that are listeners. All things Greek, way back to ancient times, up until now. The people, the food, the cultures, the zany pronunciations. It seems like sometimes they just take a bunch of letters and throw them into a long name. You know, Papadakis.
I'm sure Joe of Exton is going to bring it.
Oh, man.
He's going to bring it tomorrow.
He is brushing up on his classical literature today.
Exactly right.
Boy, he might speak in Greek tomorrow, so have the translations ready. All right. It's 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do, push pound 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.